it's the beginning of a series, and I think it'll encourage you. Before we get too far, though, just to share the gospel, as we go through life every day, we're encountering new and different things, but we were just reminded in a conversation even before church that nothing is new to God and that He has been through this stuff before. We're going to be able to press through and we're going to get to the other side, and things that look like it's never happened before have already happened if you look at history, and there are some things that are going on. But the one thing that has never changed is the Lord thy God and His ability to save, to heal, to deliver, to provide for. Okay, that is ongoing from the beginning of history, from the very beginning of man, and He created Adam and Eve, and from there they lived this perfect, wonderful, beautiful life until they were tempted by the devil and they fell into sin. That whole thing led to many, many years of living under the burden of sin and trying to basically work off your sin or pay the price and the penalty through animal sacrifices and through just certain rituals and things that they did, until the day that God put the rest of His plan in motion, which was through Jesus Christ, His Son, that He would come and be the only begotten Son sent of by God into the world, that whoever believes on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. He became that once and for all sacrifice that we can live forever in eternity with God because of what Jesus did. So if you've never done that, put your faith and trust in Jesus. That plan is still in motion and it still works the same today as it did 2,000 years ago or beyond. So praise God for that. But let's get into this series. I'm calling it a series. I titled it Dreams, the Series, Part 1. Okay, and we'll see how many we get into it. I think I'm looking at probably at least three for this to be able to, just to get a better understanding. We'll see how much more we'll get into it. Might do a fourth week if we need to follow up, because next week I want to do a little bit more on some other areas that are incorporated with dreams, like prophecy and the role of the prophet in the church and some of that stuff as well. So I think it'll be interesting. Hopefully we'll get into it pretty deep. But let's pray before we get too far. Father, we're praising You tonight. You're a good and awesome God. We know that You love us. You care for us. You've laid down Your life through Jesus for us, that we may have eternal life, that we can live the life that You now have called us to, because You have also empowered us with Your Holy Spirit to understand You, to live, to walk in the Spirit, to understand the things that You have poured out from heaven, both through Jesus, things You're doing and have done, that we may have an understanding of. And Father, I pray tonight as we press in, we're understanding more of dreams and interpreting dreams, that Lord, we'll have a great revelation from You, Your Holy Spirit will speak deeply, and we will know more because of what You do and how You reveal it to us, Father. We're praising You. Thank You for truth that surpasses all, Father. We love You for it, and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So first, a little disclaimer about dreams and the interpretation of dreams. I love to study things if I think it has anything to do with our ability to understand God, to understand our life and how God has called us to. And as I have studied on dreams the last few years, I've learned that it is a lot, there's a lot to it. Okay, and it doesn't, one or two Bible studies on it is probably not going to give you everything you need to know about dreams, because I have studied for many, many years, had dreams that I had when I was a very young Christian, 25, 26 years ago, and from that even wrote those dreams down. I still have those, and it's been wonderful to go back after studying it for a few years to go back and to reread some of that. But I don't claim to be an expert in the area, but I believe that since it is something that I think God can speak to us through, then I want to know more about it and hopefully share some of that with you. So a few years ago, I started studying about dreams more intensely, with the intent of first determining if dreams really came from God, okay, or if they could come from God at least, okay. So I wanted to get that understanding a little bit first. And like some of you, I had some, and maybe you still do, have some skepticism when it comes to dreams and interpreting dreams. I had a friend that got kind of kooky in it pretty quick, and you know, everything was a dream this and a dream that, and it seemed like it was just an area that you could get wrapped up in. So as we go through it, know that I don't take the topic of dreams and the study of it lightly, because it's been abused, it's been misused, It's been misapplied, okay, in a lot of ways. And so I think I was taught a lot of different things about dreams, and so in part of my study has been to figure out what was true and what wasn't. I was taught at one time that God could show us things through our dreams that were yet to come. But I was also taught that if you ate too much pizza before bed, that you could have kooky pizza dreams and it didn't mean anything. Okay, and not to put any weight into it. Okay, somewhere in life, maybe even I went to a secular college before I became a Christian at the University of South Dakota, and somewhere in studying and psychology and some of those things, I was taught that dreams are just a result of the busyness of your mind. Okay, that if you're stressed out about something, or if you've been engaging in something on a consistent basis that maybe for an extended period of time, that it can influence your dreams, and it was sort of a way for your mind to release the stress and to release energy while you slept. Okay, that's kind of what I was taught in some of those classes, that it was kind of a way of just releasing energy. Your brain sees so much. You know, you get all these wrinkles in your brain, right? You got a million memories in there. And then as you're sleeping, that dreams was just one of those ways that some of those could process and to be able to release some of the stress so that your mind wouldn't get overwhelmed. I experienced some of that even last night. We watched my wife and I, the boys were out of town for a few days. Been great having them back. I'm just kidding. I love my boys. I really love my boys. But it was great even last night that we got to take a chance to watch some of the Republican National Convention is on TV, and we weren't sure if we were even going to watch it, but, you know, click on, tune in just a little bit, and it got pretty interesting pretty quick. It's very patriotic, very feel-good stuff. It gave you a lot of hope for where we're going as a country and some of those things, and so we tuned in for a little bit, and then afterwards, yeah, I think it ends at 9 or whatever, and then afterwards, of course, there's all the commentaries, and everybody's got an opinion about what this statement was and about what this guy said and how this lady presented. One guy was all, anyway, worked up over the way Melania Trump wore her high heels. You know, did a great job of walking in high heels. Anyway, it's interesting to hear some of those. So we did that. We listened to some of the opinions and such, and then we went to bed. Okay, and about 5 o'clock this morning, I woke up with a dream, and it was very vivid, about being in a room with President Donald Trump. And we were awaiting a reporter that was supposed to come in to interview us. For some reason, I was kind of hanging out with the president. It's not the first dream I've had about the president, but in this dream, we were waiting in a room, waiting for somebody to come and interview us. Well, when the reporter finally got there, he arrived and came in with a gun in his hand, intending to do harm to the president. And I intervened and stopped him. And that's basically where I remember waking up. Okay, so that kind of a dream, I think, had a lot to do with watching the convention last night, and it's all Trump this, and his daughter spoke, his son spoke, it was all Trump stuff. And so just that last name was rolling through my head a lot, and I think as I went to sleep then, ended up having this dream. Well, with the mainstream news, has been very critical, kind of negatively targeting President Trump. So I can confidently say that my dream was probably just relaying an impression, okay, that I had taken away from something I had seen earlier in the day, okay, where, you know, reporter, that's the news guy coming in, going to attack him, and I try to stand up and intervene and help him in that. Okay, so I didn't put a lot of thought into it, and I'll explain in a little bit about the non-literalness of dreams. Where we don't literally, I'm not going to sit down with President Trump someday. I doubt that I ever will. Okay, maybe, God willing, but I doubt that that's really what that dream had anything to do with. So most of my concepts of dreams and kind of things that I've learned over the course of life have been seriously challenged in the last few years of studying dreams. Okay, some of the things, the previous thoughts I had about dream interpretation were confirmed. Okay, but there's other parts of it that I literally just had to kind of throw out the window. It just, yeah, it wasn't accurate, wasn't good, wasn't where it needed to be. I think that dreams are like a deep well, okay? And I think that studying them for the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks, I think we can get partway into that well, but we're not going to get to the bottom of the well. Okay, the reality of a few weeks of study and getting you to a point where you can accurately, perfectly interpret your own dreams or the dreams of somebody else is not very likely, just being straight with you. There's so much to it. Okay, and you'll understand when I talk about the symbolism of dreams and how the parable kind of language of dreams, that even today, 2,000 years or what, the King James Bible was written in what, 1611. Okay, so even from then until now, people are still trying to interpret the parables that Jesus wrote. Okay, so imagine dreams, if they're in kind of a parable language and we have to try to understand them like a parable, how many different ways people are trying to interpret the same dream. Okay, it just is similar to that. I'll explain that in a minute. I think that what we're going to do, though, is be able to scratch the surface on it a little bit. Maybe some things you've never heard before. Maybe some will confirm things and be able to help kind of get your understanding of dreams a little bit more solid. And then I do believe that with the Holy Spirit's guidance, that you'll be able to comprehend a lot more than you did before we pressed into it. I really think that you're going to get something out of this. I am now convinced, after studying for several years, that God did in fact give us dreams. Okay, that it is God ordained, that it is something that God wanted us to have, to be a part of our life. I don't know, you know, some people say they never dream. It's probably subconscious stuff. They probably still are dreaming, because I really think it's something that God created the human brain to do. Okay, and obviously I just throw this in as a side note, but even my dog, I believe, has dreams. When she's chasing a rabbit, you see her feet moving and barking in her sleep, and she's dreaming about something, right? Okay, well, I think that God wants us to gain something from our dreams more than, you know, we tend to just kind of blow them off. How many of you remember dreams that you had 3 days ago, 3 nights ago? 3 nights ago? A week ago? Okay, some of you, if you told somebody the dream, you'll remember it more. If you wrote it down, you might remember it. But I could not tell you dreams that I had a few days ago that I didn't tell somebody about. I just can't do it. They come in, they roll around, you wake up, you mull on it, you brush your teeth, you go get something to eat, you go to work, and it's gone. That's what happens to dreams. It's so quickly that we release them, and I'll explain how to best interpret in some of that. Some of you, if you remember from the Bible college class, what's the first thing you're supposed to do when you have a dream? Write it down, right? Because if you don't, you'll probably forget it. Okay, so I believe also that God gives us many kinds of dreams. Okay, some are dreams that are for us personally, that God wants to reveal something about ourselves, help us to gain some insight into life or into a situation or a circumstance, that it's not going to be like, okay, somebody just bought a car, I heard about before church. So it's not going to be like God will give you a dream that I want you to go down and buy the red car, okay? Because the literalness of a dream is really not there. But God may give you an impression and something in your dream, and you'll wake up with a better feeling about going and buying that car or doing that because of what God revealed to you in your dream. So he'll give you some insight into a situation, or maybe even to be able to help someone else in their walk with God. God often has done that over the years. I've given a dream of something that wasn't really about me, but it was about how to help somebody else through a time that they're going through. One way that I know this, okay, let's get to some scripture. God's word says to us in Acts chapter 2, okay, verse 17, when Peter was describing the power of the risen Christ and specifically describing the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus said that he would give to us and then did give to us. Remember, he said, I ascend to my Father, I'm going to send you the Spirit. And then he did. The Spirit was poured out on them. Okay, so when Peter is describing the power of the Holy Spirit and what he believes is coming, he quotes the prophet Joel when he says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. He says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my, capital S, Holy Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And I don't know how old you got to be an old man or what young man is. You didn't give much insight on that. But I know that I have had prophecy, visions, and dreams in my life, and I'm not that old yet. So apparently it's possible for even guys like me. Okay, I would say that God would not tell us, like in that verse, that he expected us to have visions and dreams unless he had a divine purpose for it. Okay, he's saying that when the last days come, and in that sense, many think we're in last days, so to speak, that it is the time between Jesus came until he comes back, that we're in that period. Some say it's more of a shorter 7-year period or those kind of things. But the point is that during the days, the last days, and I think we're living in a period where we could apply this, that prophecy and dreams and visions should be part of our lives. Okay, they should be a part of the church. They should be a way that God is speaking to and through his people. Okay, there are very unique in the dreams are, they're a very unique and very specific way for God to be able to connect with us as his people. Okay, we don't get to plan our dreams. Anybody else say, I'm going to dream about, puppies running in a field and then go to sleep and dream about it. You can't do that. Okay, so there's a spiritual connection that takes place where something is happening that it's out of your control. Okay, think Holy Spirit, think baptism of Holy Spirit, think speaking in tongues, some of that other stuff that comes through the Holy Spirit. It is something that is beyond us, that is of a divine nature. Okay, and dreams give us an ability to be able to connect with God in that way. I think we're going to look at prophecy probably next week. I think it's next week. Because prophecy factors in with dreams. A prophet is someone that speaks the oracles of God. And so if someone speaks to a prophet in a dream and they share that, they now are using prophecy and dreams all together. See how it kind of works together. That's why we're going to look a little at that. Okay, from the time that Jesus ascended to heaven, he ascends us, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, until the day that he returns for his bride. I believe that prophecy and dreams and visions are going to be a way for God to speak to his people and a way for God to speak through his people. Okay, to be able to minister unto the body of Christ, to be able to give revelation, understanding. So I think as we get started, it's going to help us to understand the spiritual nature of dreams. Like I said, it's not something we can plan out. Something is happening that goes beyond where we're at in our mental capacity. That spiritual nature of dreams comes because God is a spirit, right? They that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth, okay? We're going to enter into a spiritual connection with God. We already have. The simplest definition of spirit is the word pneuma, okay? And it means breath, okay? And God has breathed or spirit put into each of us, his spirit, giving us our own unique human spirit. Okay, you ever hear the spirit of man? Okay, we have a unique individual spirit, something that is unique for us, that God created us, gave us this, breathed into us his spirit of life. Okay, it is in your spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, okay, that you are going to hear and understand the things of the spiritual realm. Okay, I think too much focus on the trying to understand God or be able to use our minds to do it with the natural mind is going to just cloud the message that God was really trying to speak to us. Trying to understand God with your mind doesn't get very far. It frustrates most people, okay? But the carnal mind, okay, it literally, the natural carnal mind, it literally cannot even understand the things of God. That's why it frustrates it. You're trying to figure it out, but it's not making sense. Okay, some of the stuff in our world right now that's happening that doesn't make any sense is spiritual. Okay, figure that out. Because it gets frustrating. Why do we get frustrated with stuff? Because it's not being, you can't look at it with your natural mind and understand what's going on. It's because it's spiritual in nature. The natural mind, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Okay, dreams are very, very seldom literal in their interpretation. Okay, what that means is if I, you know, dream about a puppy running through purple flowers, I'm probably not going to go out and, oh, look, there's a puppy running through purple flowers. That's exactly what my dream was. It very, very seldom happens that way. And it's because that is something that is of your natural mind. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Dreams come to us, as we get a dream, it comes to us in the form of a parable language, okay, or illustrated stories, okay, something that is, it's bigger than just what you see with your eyes. There's a meaning behind it, okay, the personalized or these personalized encoded messages are full of symbols, okay, that express the mysteries or the hidden things of God. Okay, this coincides with the way that Jesus spoke to us when he was on the earth. Okay, and if you open up Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 10, we'll read about three or four verses there. You can understand this. This is Jesus when he was walking on the earth, and the disciples, they're trying to understand why Jesus speaks the way that he does. Why don't you just say it plainly? I'm the Son of God. Tell him that. And he doesn't do it. Okay, and here's his explanation in Matthew 13:10. It says, the disciples came to Jesus and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And Jesus answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do understand. Okay, dreams are a spiritual way for God to speak to you, and a spiritual way for God to speak through the believer when they give an accurate interpretation. And it happens in a way that the lost or the unbeliever simply could not and cannot understand. Okay, the lost mind, or the, that's a funny term, the lost mind, losing your mind. No, the lost mind, and or the carnal Christian even, will tend to interpret their dreams literally and will miss what God is saying. They will apply too much of what they know in the natural to try to interpret a dream, and they'll miss that interpretation. Okay, the people in the parables, Jesus was describing things in the parable about, you know, the word of God, kingdom of God is like a treasure that, you know, you find this treasure and a man goes and buries it in a field and keeps it. Or, you know, I'm not doing very good at telling his parables, but the parable of like he finds a pearl of rare price and he goes and sells everything he has and comes back and buys that pearl. Okay, what does that mean? What does it refer to as a Christian? We know Jesus is saying he's that rare pearl. Go and get rid of everything else and make sure you get that pearl. Okay, we get that. The people that were listening to Jesus with natural carnal minds didn't get that. They're like, a pearl? Who's got a rare pearl? What's he talking about? And it didn't make any sense to them. Your dreams are like that you will hear something from God in the natural. It's not maybe going to make sense, but if you let your spirit understand it, you will begin to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus was doing through parables, and that's what God is doing with us in our dreams. It is beyond our natural mind to understand. One of the authors that I studied, we're going to read it might have been this gal, I've read several books, but she talked about when trying to understand dreams that someone had referred her to the books by Frank Peretti to understand the spiritual realms. It's books like This Present Darkness or Piercing the Darkness. Okay, those are a couple of them that are very good. She said that they opened her eyes to the spiritual world and helped her to separate the rational from the spiritual. Okay, how to understand that there's a spiritual thing going on behind the scenes. How often have you heard that term from me? There's something going on behind the scenes. Okay, it's God working. It's the spiritual things that are happening. Okay, well, I agree or concur with that offer and recommend reading those books to help you understand the spiritual realm, the makeup of this world that we live in. You understand why people do the things you do, because it's spiritual in nature. Okay, we are spiritual beings living in a flesh and blood world, and the sooner that we figure that out as a believer, the easier it is to comprehend, to live out our life without being frustrated. Okay, many people still hesitate to seek the meaning of their dreams. Okay, although I think it's very biblical to do that. I think we should, with almost every dream, when we wake up, wow, that was a vivid dream. I think we should spend a little bit of time at least, and I'll explain how to decipher where the dream came from and what it means, but I think we should at least pay attention, because I really think it's something that God gave to us as believers to understand more about God, more about our own life, more about somebody else's life, a situation going on. Okay, dream interpretation, though, it's something that, like I said, is very it's very deep, and it has a lot of symbolic stuff to it, and I think that we should be careful with it. I think wrong interpretation has the potential to lead somebody into bondage. Okay? Some people that I know, even immature Christians, have made very rash decisions based on a dream that they had, and it steered them right in a wrong direction. Okay, they thought it meant something, and off they go. Okay, and they took it in a wrong way, and it messed some things up. Okay, when it comes to, here's the understanding part. When it comes to understanding dreams, the first place we have to start is by asking ourselves some questions. Okay, the very first question, if you ever have a dream, is, where did the dream come from? Okay, what was the root of that dream? Where did it come from? Okay, and the follow-up questions to that, the follow-up questions would be, do all dreams come from God? Okay, I think it's part of what he allows us to be able to understand some things, but do all dreams come from God? Can the devil influence our dreams? Because if so, that's something we need to know about, because I don't want to follow his lead. Okay. And does eating pizza really affect my dreams? Okay, that's the third follow-up question. Ask yourself those. The answer to these follow-up questions is no. Not all dreams come directly from God. Can the devil influence dreams? We're not going to get to the full answer of that until a little later on in the series, but the initial answer for you is yes. The devil can influence dreams. If you wake up and you're fear, terrified, scared, confused, overwhelmed, pretty good chance the devil is doing some influencing in a dream. Okay. The answer to the pizza question is pretty much yes. Okay, and what I mean by that is that I say pretty much yes, because it's not so much just the pizza as it is your body. Okay, your body can be the source of, or at least the main influencer of, your dreams. Okay, and here's what I mean. Your dreams are affected by your body, and your dreams can actually be brought on by a physical reaction that your body is having. These are sometimes caused by chemicals, okay, in the body, or something that affects your nervous system, and they manifest dreams as one of their byproducts. Okay, certain medications and things that people take tend to induce more dreams or things like that. If you remember in the 60s, LSD got very popular as a nervous system affecting drug, and that, along with many other kinds of drugs, were used to induce not only hallucinations during the awake time, but they also were used to encourage profound dreams while people slept, because people got into it and they wanted to dream and be able to write them down and do these things. Okay, scientists have also found that certain foods can affect your body, which alters your nervous system, which affects your dreams. Things like medications, okay, medicines that you take, other things that are introduced to the body can affect person's dreams. So to know if your body is the source of a dream, okay, it's good to look at the timing of your dream in relation to your body. And what I mean by that is, did you just start a new medication the night before and now all of a sudden you have this really vivid, kooky dream or whatever it is? Did you just eat a huge bowl of spicy green chili from Tsukasa the night before and you went to bed and then you have a certain kind of dream? Did you, maybe you were on some sort of a prescribed medicine, okay, for a long time, and then all of a sudden you just stop it kind of abruptly and then you start having these really vivid dreams? It may be that it's just your body responding to some sort of withdrawal or to that not being there. Okay, all of these kind of things affect your body, which might affect your dreams. Other ways that your body might affect your dreams might be like dreaming that you're in a freezer and you're shivering and you're cold, and then you wake up to find out that you forgot to close the window and it's just really cold in your room. Okay, that is your body took on what was in the natural and began to influence your dream. One story I read about was this young 8-year-old girl, and she dreamed that she was being bitten in the leg by a bear. Okay, and she woke up to find that her sister, who she shared a bed with, was scratching her leg with her toenail during her sleep. Okay, and so it caused her dream to go in that direction. Oh my God, somebody's attacking my leg. Oh, it's a bear. And her brain, you know, started putting all the pieces together. Okay, so if you've ever dreamt about searching for a bathroom because you gotta go, okay, and then you woke up to find out that you really did gotta go, okay, then you can kind of relate to how your body can be the source of a dream, okay, or how it can influence your dream, right? Okay, so that's your body. Another source of dreams can be your soul, okay, this thing between your ears. Okay, your soul is your what? Say it. Mind, will, and emotions. Okay? So your soul has a lot to do with your dreams. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. It is where you think and you want and you feel. Okay? Your mind thinks, your will wants, and your emotions feel. Okay? For an example of a soul dream, kind of help you understand it, I want to read you a story. It's written by this lady named Marcia Trimble Dunstan. Okay, and she wrote The Complete Guide to Dream Interpretation. Okay, and I just want to read to you something that she wrote about a dream that someone called her. She has gotten very good at it. She's been studying this for way, way longer than I have. And she's gotten good at understanding dreams and interpreting kind of where they come from. That's what where she starts, is where did the dream come from? So let me read you this. This is an example of kind of a soul dream. Said, her friend Jerry called me on the telephone one day, and immediately I knew that something was wrong. Her voice shook, and I heard sobs between her words. I need to tell you about a dream I had, she said. Her words were thickly enunciated, possibly in an attempt to keep her emotions from shutting down her ability to speak. Sure, go ahead, I replied. She said, I dreamed my son fell off a cliff and died. She said, her words ending with a loud wail. God, help me to tell her what you want her to hear, I prayed. Tell me the full dream, Jerry, I said, stalling to sort of give me time to hear from the Lord. In the dream, she said, my son drove a truck off a cliff, she began, and he crashed. As I listened to Jerry unfold the details of the horrific scene, a peace from the Holy Spirit swept over me. That peace the Bible talks about that surpasses all understanding. The peace was so powerful that I had to stop myself from laughing out loud. Because the peace I felt was not compatible with the graphic scene that she was detailing, I believe the Holy Spirit had led me to know everything was all right. I surmised the dream was not a true dream from the Lord, not a vision of things to come. Then I remembered many past conversations I had shared with Jerry. She struggled against an overprotective fear for her son and grandchildren. She lived a life of anxiety, worried about them because of the seriousness of their living situation. They dealt on a day-to-day basis with severe dysfunction in the family. Jerry, she said, I believe this dream is not of the Lord. I believe it is a soul dream brought on by your own fears. Then I explained some of the different types of dreams. Also, I continued, since dreams are usually metaphorical, if this was a dream from the Lord, dying in a dream is often a metaphor for dying to an old lifestyle and birthing something new. I spoke more on the subject until I could feel that she had calmed down. Okay, she said, I'm going to hold on to that and claim that this isn't about him getting killed. Time will prove it right or wrong, I said, kind of wincing a little at my lack of tact. Time did prove that it was just a fear dream. Several years have passed and her son is still fine. I believe the dream's purpose was to act as a pressure relief valve for the anxiety of her soul. Okay, so a soul dream. Somebody is worried, stressed, overwhelmed, consumed with something, and then they dream something kind of similar about that. It was a natural dream in a woman's mind. It was her son driving a truck off a cliff, and it was like, this is home. Okay, she had really hit home with her that, oh my God, this is coming to pass. But it was really her soul that had been wrought with anxiety, stressed about, you know, her son and his life, and always worrying about what he was doing and whether he was going to be okay and that stuff, and it manifested as a dream. Okay, in some parts, this would be the enemy kind of used it against her, but at the same time, it was her being able to process through, you know, what happens when you think that that really happens to somebody? All your emotions rise up, and oh my God, this is real, it's going to happen, and you start to process it like it really did happen. Okay, so it allowed her emotions to rise up to get to that point. Her brain processed it through. Her soul began to process what it would be like, and then she realized that it didn't happen. Okay, many of you probably had dreams like that where you wake up and it's like, you know, oh my gosh, I can't, oh man, I just got bit by a snake in my dream or whatever it was, and you get kind of worked up over it, and then eventually you realize it didn't happen. That can actually help you to process so that when you're walking out in the prairie, you're not afraid of snakes as much. I lived through it in my dream. I mean, it didn't really, you know what I mean? It didn't happen. So you can process it. If you process it in your mind, it can make life a little bit easier down the road, okay? So that's why she said it was like a pressure relief valve for her soul regarding her anxiety about her son. Okay, the preacher that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, which literally means the preacher, he said this about dreams in Ecclesiastes 5:3. He said, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. I'll read that first part again. Ecclesiastes 5:3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness. So it seems that what I was taught 30-some years ago in my psychology studies, that dreams were a way for the busyness of your mind to be released, that they were actually correct. Okay, sometimes your brain is just processing stuff. When I worked for UPS, it was a very consuming job. I got into the management level, and it took hours and hours and hours and days and gone and on the road, and very consuming and very driven. Okay, it's driven. It's delivering packages. Okay, but it was very driven, and you felt that. I felt that pressure. And I often dreamt about delivering packages in a brown truck. And beyond that, more often than that, it was about not being able to find a package on the brown truck to deliver, or not being able to find an address, because that was your continual fear. Your continual, I've got to get there, I've got to be on time, I've got to do this. And so all that began to process through, and it wasn't uncommon to have those kind of dreams. Okay, well, finally we've talked about some of the sources of your dreams, okay? You can see why you've got to ask what the source was. It could be your body reacting to something. Could be your mind and your soul, okay? Something processing in there. Or, now we get to the best part, it could be God, okay? And it could be him speaking to you something very clear that he is hoping that you will understand. And that is obviously the kind of dream that we hope it's going to be. When I dream, I love them to be God dreams, and I can usually tell when they are. Okay, some dreams are given to us directly by God through the Holy Spirit. Okay, I think he will use a dream to help give us some help in a particular area, to educate us, to kind of open our eyes to something. He also gives us dreams to guide us. Okay, we've got decisions to make, or he might give us some insight into something, or he may use dreams to warn us, okay, about something that is impending, something that is coming. Sometimes he gives us a dream to tell us about something that will happen, something futuristic, something that is going to happen in our own life, or even better yet, is something that he is going to do in the future, okay, something that he will do to guide and protect, okay, and I'm not saying I threw the whole window about me and President Trump out. I threw the whole dream about me and President Trump out the window. But the idea is that if that is a futuristic, and I'm not saying it's not because it was so vivid, and I kind of woke up thinking, I wonder, this might have something to do with God, even though I did watch the convention last night, that maybe at some point I will speak out, or at some point I will be influencing in the media in a different way to stop attacks or something like that. Okay, well, those kind of dreams where God tells you something in the future, I like those kind of dreams, okay? And I like them because it kind of gives you a hope for something that is yet to come. It lets you know that God has not forgotten about you, that God is still working out something in your life, and he's kind of planning something and showing you, putting this out in front of you as, this is yet to come, don't quit, don't give up, don't think that I gave in or quit or gave up on you, okay? So they're kind of helpful in that sense as well. Okay, Joseph is a good example in the Bible. Probably end with Joseph here. About someone that had a dream, and if you remember, he dreamt about ruling over his brothers. Wasn't happening in the natural. He was a young guy, and they were making fun of him, didn't really care for him that much. Okay, in the natural right now, it wasn't happening, but he had a dream about ruling over his brothers. Okay, and it was a good example of a foretelling kind of dream. Genesis 37, verses 5 through 8 is where that is found. In Genesis 37, 5 through 8, it said that Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and then they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Okay, well, if you remember the story of Joseph, okay, he indeed did rise up to be the second in command of Egypt, and he did in fact rule over his brethren. At one point, having their very lives in his hands at one point, whether they lived or died. The baker and the butler of the king of Egypt, when they were in prison with Joseph, they also had dreams that were foretelling dreams. Okay, and Joseph again interpreted those. He told the one that he would be released from prison, and the other one he said, you're going to die. Okay, and they came to pass exactly like their dreams had foretold, okay, that had revealed to them. Okay, now Pharaoh, again, the king of Egypt, he also had a dream, and Joseph interpreted it for him that where he described the coming drought that was coming on the land. Remember, it had to do with cows and a river and, you know, fat cows and skinny cows, and how do you get drought out of that? Okay, but he did, okay, because that was what God spoke through Joseph and said, here's what your dream means. There's a drought coming for 7 years, and began to explain how it was all going to happen. Okay, well, that came to pass exactly like God had revealed to Joseph through that dream. Okay, I believe that anyone can receive dreams in which God is the source of them. We as a believer, as a Christian believer, we have received of the Lord, we believe, we've got His Holy Spirit. I believe we can each receive dreams directly from the Lord. That He can speak to us something that is pretty impressive. And I think that those that are sensitive to the voice of God, they kind of begin to fine-tune, like, what is God saying, and is this from God, is this my body, is this the devil, is this my soul? We begin to understand which ones are from God. We begin to get sensitive to hearing and understanding what dreams mean. Then I think that we can have more understanding. We will get more and more of those kinds of dreams. Okay, that's what I've noticed in my life. Okay, I've always liked to know the future a little bit. And I think the more that I understand about dreams and interpreting them and trying to be more accurate, the more I feel like God has given us an advantage. Okay, God has given us this very powerful tool to be able to know more about what's coming in life. And I think it helps us to be able to live more in peace, okay, more at peace, because we have a better understanding of what's on the horizon because of what God is speaking to us through dreams. Okay, I think I'm going to end with that tonight. We've been here for quite a while. Next week, I want to get into the role of the prophet, okay, and how they're used with dreams. I want to talk about dreams that are given for confirmation. Okay, when God is just showing you something, might not be the exact situation, but it'd be God confirming that, yes, this is what that situation is about, and give you confirmation. And then also what I call revelatory dreams, or something that reveals something about us to us. Okay, because God likes to do that, to show you something about yourself. And the common thing with that is that we think it applies to somebody else. Oh, that couldn't be me. That must be so-and-so. And we begin to not understand it. But hopefully we can get some of that out of it. Well, let's end with some prayer before we go. Father, we're pressing into an area, Father, that you have given to us to be able to relate to you, to understand, to be able to see some things that are coming, to have revelation of who we are and what's going on in our life. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this week, that each of us will have a connection with you, that we'll begin to see things and begin to use your gift of discernment to understand where things are coming from and where the source of dreams are. And that as we begin to look at some of the symbolism and some of the things that will help us to understand more specifically what you're speaking to us, I just pray that this week, Lord, that we just have even I'll call it peaceful rest, Lord, that we get some rest for our bodies, that each of us are able to recuperate each night as we're supposed to, and to be able to get that healing and that rest that takes place in our body so that we can go forth and do what you call us to do every day, Lord. We're thanking you. Thanks for your word. Thanks for encouraging us. Thanks for giving us so many tools and gifts, Lord. Thanks for opening the windows of heaven, letting us just connect with you in a powerful way like this. And Father, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Does anybody have anything in specific?